Good morning. It's good to have you all here. But it is the first Sunday of December. I cannot believe how close we're getting to Christmas. I don't know about anybody else, but I love Christmas. And, you know, we're supposed to keep Christmas in our hearts all year long. And I do. Sometimes I'd like to throw somebody off in March and say, Merry Christmas, and just see what their reaction would be. But anyway, so today and the next two Sundays, we're going to have Christmas sermons. So I pray that your heart will be filled as the Lord speaks to us through these messages over the next few Sundays. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And I'd like to ask you, if you would, to please stand as I read from God's Word. Matthew 1, and today's sermon is All Because of Christmas. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so, so thankful for this wonderful gift that was given to us. There is no other gift that compares to the birth of Jesus and how He lived His life and how He took our sins upon Himself and He died for us. That is the greatest gift, the greatest sacrifice that anybody could ever give or show to us. And Lord, as I preach this message today, Father, fill our hearts and change us, dear God. And Lord, let us really reflect on what Christmas is truly about. Father, let this message I speak today come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Because of that very first Christmas, the child of God is recipient of three great assurances that provide comfort and strength throughout our life. First thing I want to talk about this morning is one of those assurances is that God is with us. Matthew 1:23, we read that, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. I want you to know something, or think about something this morning. You know, when Jesus was born and Mary is holding him, she wasn't just holding any baby. She was holding a king. She was holding a precious gift. And, you know, I can't even imagine what it was like for her to give birth to the Son of God. I mean, that's a great gift in itself right there, that she conceived of by the Holy Spirit, and she is carrying the Son of God because God found favor with Mary because of her heart and her life. Well, we know that Mary was a virgin. She was going to be married to Joseph, and then all of a sudden she ends up pregnant. And Joseph wanted to put her away, but God said, no, that's not what I'm intending for you to do. But the Lord, an angel had appeared to Joseph and let Joseph know what was about to happen, what was going to take place in their lives. And Joseph and Mary knew that God was with them because Mary was holding the Son of God in her hands, or in her arms. And when I think about that, I'm thinking, golly, does she even realize what she's holding? She's holding a baby who is going to teach men about the Father. She is holding a baby who's going to heal many people of their sicknesses and diseases. She's holding somebody who is going to walk on the water. But greater than that, she's holding this baby who is going to die on the cross and save the world from their sins. He is going to offer the greatest sacrifice, the greatest gift that mankind would ever know. He is going to make a difference in this world. And she didn't realize, I don't think, all the great things. And that's where that song, I love that song. Mary, did you know? I listened to somebody sing that song for the very first time. I think it was actually Mark Lowry. And a lot of people know who Mark Lowry is. He's a Christian comedian. He's a goofball. But when he sings that song, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is going to walk on water? I mean, my heart was just filled with such emotion because through all of that, God is with us. And God is with us always. Matthew 28:20 says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So when Jesus died, he came in and was born and died, but that wasn't the end of it. Jesus came forth from the grave, and he ascended back to heaven, and he gave us his Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, "I will be with you always." Jesus has said in his word, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." So as Mary was probably taking comfort knowing the things that God had revealed to her, we need to take that same comfort into our own lives. And that's how we need to live. We need to live knowing that God is always with us. How many of you have ever been in a situation and you sit there and ask yourself, well, I wonder, or you might say, well, nobody else knows what I'm going through, or I'm sitting here all alone suffering with. I want you to know this morning. God is with you through every joyful time. God is with you through every low time. God is with you even in every situation. God is watching over you as you sleep at night. God is watching over you throughout your daytime. When you are happy, when you are sad, God is with you. And I've had somebody bring up something to me years ago that I never even thought about. They said, God even sings over us. Do you realize that God sings over you? Do you realize that God takes great pride in you, His child? He loves you that much. So if He's always with us, then we should take that into consideration in our life. We should hold that dearly within our heart that we will never, ever be alone. That's forever, through all of eternity. Now, can you see God with your naked eye? Can you see God? I've had some people say, well, no, yes, you can. I'm going to tell you right now how you can see God with the naked eye. If you look outside these windows or when you go out, if you look all around, God created everything on this earth. So, yes, you can see God. Can you feel God? Yes, you can. You can feel His love and His power at work in your life. Just like you step outside, you can't see the wind, but you can feel it when it blows, can't you? I was really feeling it the other day when it was about 22 degrees and real feel of 18 degrees. I was really feeling that. But to know that God is with me, God is holding the entire world right in His hands. That's how great and mighty our Lord is. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord, He it is that doeth, or that doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, He won't forsake you, and so fear not, neither be dismayed." Did you just hear that? Fear not, don't be dismayed, God will never fail you. Now that's how good our God is. He never fails. Now, if you go back to when Lazarus died, Jesus was in another town. They had sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick and dying, but Jesus stayed where he was. Now, I want you to listen to this. Jesus stayed there for a reason. He wasn't being mean to Lazarus or Mary or Martha or any other family members. He wasn't being mean to them, but he wanted to show them that he was the Son of God. He wanted to show them that he cared, that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And see, when we go through things, sometimes we don't really understand the depth of who the Lord really is. Sometimes we think that we're all alone. We might pray and feel like, how many of you ever felt like your prayers hit the ceiling and maybe fall back down? Maybe they're not getting answered. If God says that he won't forsake us and he doesn't want our faith to fail, then that means when we pray, he hears every word. God hears your heart, even when you don't know the words to pray. God hears the word. He hears the grumblings, the groanings inside of us, and he knows what we're going through. But we are not to be fearful or dismayed in any way in this life. God is with us even in death. Now, I've preached on this a lot, and so I won't touch a whole bunch on it, but we know that in death, there's victory for the Christian. I told you, I think it was last Sunday, about the story about when I went and visited the woman in the hospital, and then when I got called a few years later to go to her house, she's laying in bed, and she says, "I'm not afraid to die now." She said, "I know that when I close my eyes here," she said, "I'm going to step over into heaven." And she said, "I know that the Lord," she was telling me, she said, "I'm already experiencing things." And I thought, wow. I was also in a hospital room one time with a lady, dear sweet woman, loved the Lord with all her heart. And as she's dying, well, that's what the family said, you know, she's dying, not been well. So here, standing in the hospital room, and she's talking, and this is what she does. She looked up at the wall, and she's pointing. And she goes, "Isn't that just beautiful? Isn't that grand?" And her daughter and her son and daughter-in-law are standing to the side there, and they said, "Well, Mom, what are you talking about?" Well, they had recently remodeled the rooms at Marion Memorial Hospital at the old hospital. And she said, "No, you're not seeing what I'm seeing." She said, "I can see the angels and they're coming for me." And I was standing there in the room with tears running down my face. I wasn't sad. I had goosebumps all up and down my arms and neck and back. And she said, "I want you to know that I love you all." And I was standing there holding her hand at this side of the bed. That's the kind of relationship I had, because this woman had been in the nursing home, and that's how I got to know her and her family. So I'm holding her hand, and then she said, "It's time for me to go." And just that quick, she was gone, and I felt her hand go limp in mine. And as I stood there, I'm like, wow, we can't see it with the naked eye, but the things of God, they are all around us. If we could truly see what was out there, we would be amazed at the things in the spiritual realm. But in death, we are not to be afraid, because, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? You've probably heard that spoken at a lot of funerals. All right, I'm going to move on. Psalms chapter 3 and verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And Hebrews 13:5, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now that right there is God's promises to you and I today, that he is with us through every single event, detail, trouble, trial in life. You know, when my father and I finally made amends, that was probably the greatest 4 months of my life with my father. And I had so many questions, so many things unanswered. But this one thing I did during this time, I knew my father was going to pass. I really knew that's what he was preparing for. And he was getting his life right with the Lord. And after my father passed away, I had a lot of questions. And Janine asked me one day, she said, "Something's going on inside of you. What is it?" And I told Janine, I said, "Well, I said, I don't know if my father has made it to heaven. I don't know if he truly, I've had this question in my mind." So I prayed about it. I prayed about the situation, gave it to the Lord. And God one day gave me this comfort. It was almost in a dream. I was laying in bed asleep, and I don't know if it's dream or vision. I can't really tell you, but this is what happened. During the evening, my father, I felt like my dad came to me, and my dad said, "I'm okay now. I want you to know this morning that I feel like God answered my prayer." God will always answer our prayers because He is always with us. God is in us, secondly. Colossians 1:27, "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of His Son, is in us to seal us until the day of redemption." Christ is alive inside of you. You have every hope and every reason to live. You have every reason to be joyful. You have every reason to go after the things in life that God has placed before you, because God gives us wisdom, God gives us knowledge, God gives us strength, God gives us joy. Now, will God give you every answer to everything in life? Not exactly. But God is with us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we know, is our guide. It's our strength. The Holy Spirit tells us when we're about to do something wrong. The Holy Spirit lets us know where we're weak in our lives and where we need to make changes. But the Holy Spirit of God has sealed us until the day of redemption. And I want to say this. The moment that you get saved, I hear a lot of other denominations will do this. They'll say, "Well, you have to pray for the Holy Spirit to be filled with it." No, you don't. The moment that you get saved and you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you immediately. That's why when Jesus said, when He was ascending back into heaven, He said, "I'm going to send you another Comforter." The Holy Spirit is who He was talking about. And He said the Holy Spirit would live in each and every one of our lives. And the Holy Spirit gives us comfort. The Holy Spirit gives us power. See, you and I don't possess a power that allows us to get through this life on our own doing. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to live a victorious Christian life. We're going to face a lot of things in this life, but the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to overcome each and every day. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our comfort. He teaches us, and He empowers us for Christian service. I pray this a lot every day. Lord, I pray that You would allow me to be stretchable so that I can be filled and changed more by Your Holy Spirit. I'll tell you one thing I quit praying for is I quit praying for patience. The more that I prayed for patience, the more trials I got. And then I would say, "God, what are You doing to me?" Well, and then the Lord would say, "Well, you prayed for patience, so that's what I'm trying to teach you." So then I just started saying, "Well, God, Your grace is sufficient for me." And God's grace is sufficient for us in all areas of life. He teaches us. And you know, when you don't understand something, do you know that you can ask God for wisdom. You can ask God for knowledge and discernment, and He will give it freely. It says that in His Word, He will give it freely to those who ask. I was talking with Janine on the phone the other day, and this is kind of why I asked for prayer this morning. Somebody in our family, I ain't going to say who or whatever, but anyway, she said, well, we got a situation we're going to be facing Monday morning, because she didn't want to get on the jet. She said she was scared at the airport this morning. We didn't know if we was going to get her on the jet to fly to Florida or not. And I says, well, what's she so afraid of? Well, she's afraid of being up in the air. Well, that's 35,000 feet. That's about what jets fly at. You ever seen a jet go through the sky? It looks like I always like to take my finger and go like that. You could almost cover. That's how high up they are. But she said, anyway, she said, I didn't know if we was ever going to get on the plane. I didn't know if we was going to get her to calm down. She said, Janine's got these natural lozenges to help kind of calm down. She said, I gave her one of those. We got her on the plane. And she says, when the plane took off, she said, I thought she was going to go in and have, you know, go into conniptions or something. But she said, we got in the air, and she said, you know, I tried to tell her everything was going to be fine. But anyway, so pray for them tomorrow. But anyway, God is with us through every event that we go through in this life. God is for us. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Now, I'll tell you what, there's going to be people in life that they're not going to agree with you being a Christian. You're going to be persecuted, but even though people come up against us and even though people make fun of us and mock us, God is for us. God is on your side. I want you to know that. God's told us that in this world we're going to have tribulations, but Jesus said to be of good cheer, He has overcome the world. So we have to keep our eyes off of the things of this world, and we have to put our eyes on the things of God. Because God has given us every resource for living life. We are to be reminded that the wonderful promise of Romans 8:31 follows that great passage of Romans 8:28-30, which clearly sets forth that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I want you to know today that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. It doesn't, you know, we talk about David this morning in Sunday school. And David did. Boy, David was down here 1 minute, then David would be up here, and then David would be back down here again. I mean, David was like a pogo stick, up and down, up and down, up and down, constantly. And he done some pretty bad stuff. We talked about it this morning. He saw Bathsheba bathing. He was tempted in the flesh. And he had Bathsheba brought to him. He slept with her. And then he got her pregnant. And then he sent her husband out on the front lines of battle. And Bathsheba's husband died. And you're thinking, golly, that's pretty bad. This guy should be condemned to hell. That would be our way of thinking. But I want you to know this. David realized when he did wrong, he realized that all he had to do is go to the Father and ask Him for forgiveness of his sins, and God would forgive him. That's how great God's love is for you and I. So as you live your life, don't live your life condemning yourself. Boy, I was talking about that this morning in Sunday school as well. I said, you know, there's times that I'll leave church and the devil starts going, man, that sermon you did preach this morning, you was way off. Everything you said was wrong. And then I'm sitting there going, golly, that's the worst sermon I've ever preached. That a lot of preachers go through that. I know because I've talked to them. But this one thing I know, not everybody's going to agree with how I live my life, but I know that the Father loves me. I know that the Father cares for me. He's put me into a good church. He's put good people around me. And together, you and I are supposed to walk in that fellowship. We're supposed to walk in that love. We have to know each and every day who God is, and we have to make Him the priority of our life. We have to make Him the center of everything. We have to lift Him up, praise Him, honor Him, glorify Him with our lives, and then we have to realize that everything we do, it's because of Him and nothing of ourselves. If I stood in this pulpit and I tried to preach under my own power or authority, I'd fall flat on my face. And I tell the Lord every day, Father, I need Your Holy Spirit. I need guidance. I need wisdom. I need, Father God, for You to give me joy, because there are days that I get up and maybe I don't feel so joyful. Maybe there's been a lot going on, but this one thing I do know, that when I can't stand on my feet any longer, I know that I can fall on my knees and bow at the throne of God. And I know that I can ask Him for His grace, His marvelous, matchless grace. And I know that the Lord will fill me. I know that the Lord will sustain me. And I know that God will strengthen me and lift me up. There's been many times in the Bible where you could see people going through battles, whether it was in an actual battle like going to war, or just things they were going through in their life. But they always trusted God. And I think we could always look back at Job. Job realized that God was always with him. God was within him, because not one time did Job ever curse God through his suffering. And what happened? There at the end, when Job finally said, I repent in dust and ashes, he was basically repenting, but he was calling out to the Lord. And finally, at the end of Job's suffering, what did God do? God gave back double what Job had taken away from him. So see, you and I in this life, we're going to go through losses. There's going to be things removed from us. And there's going to be things that we gain. There's areas of life we're going to walk in, and we're going to think, how in the world did I get here? How did I ever get here? I've been kind of deeply burdened this last probably week or so, because I saw somebody's name on the jail list. So I don't know why I do, but I'll check the jail list sometimes to see if there's people that I know. But anyway, I saw somebody's name on the jail list this past week, and really burdened, because this person was a Christian and had lived their life for the Lord, and actually has been in jail multiple times now. And so, see, we're gonna get to places in life where things are going to happen, and we don't know how we got there, but I'll tell you this, we can trust God that He will be there with us, and He will get us out of the wilderness that we might be walking through. I'll share this with you real quick, and then I'll close. A lot of people don't know this about my life, but I'm going to share it. In 2005, I was pastoring a large church, and that's what I'd wanted, and things were going really good. And then an event happened in my life where the person that I was married to decided she was going to run off with another man. I'm not saying this. I don't want sympathy. I don't want people to think I'd done something wrong or whatever. I didn't. But I thought, how in the world did I get here? And here's what happened. I lost my pastor's job. I lost the parsonage I was living in. I lost my vehicle. I literally lost everything. And I got a phone call from my father. My father had heard a lot of these things that was going on. I didn't ever talk to my folks a whole lot about things. But this is what one thing my dad did. My dad said, "Son, why don't you just come home?" Here I was in my 30s. I'd moved out when I was a young man. But I was sitting in the bedroom at Mom and Dad's house one evening, and I thought, how did I get here? What? And I said, "God, have I done something so bad that you're cursing me? Have I missed something somewhere in life?" And the Lord said, "I just want you to trust me. I want you to trust me through all of this." So I went and got a job. I took a job paying minimum wage, working part-time, and I lived at my mom and dad's house for quite a few months. I went through some shame. Boy, I went through, my ego was really brought down. I think that's probably what God was really needing to work on. I was trusting in myself a little too much. But God said this, God said, "I want you to keep your eyes on me, and I want you to walk with me, and all I want you to do is grow in me." So everything in my life that I had ever known was taken away from me, and I had absolutely nothing. So I proudly drove a car that had the paint peeling off of it. I lived at my mom and dad's. People asked me, "Where are you living?" "Well, I live with my mom and dad." Yeah, things are tough. Things were tough. But here's what I decided to do. I decided to put my faith and my trust in the Lord. And now fast forward, well, here we are, 2025, 20 years later. I want you to know this. God has restored everything in my life and given me even better than what I had lost. God has given me an incredible wife who's right by my side. And we pray together. We worship together. God has put me into a wonderful church with a fantastic church family. But God has blessed my life all over again. And I think what I went through was to help me to grow in Him. And I share that with you because you might be going through something today and you might be thinking, "Well, how did I get here?" I want you to know that God is always with you, that God loves you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And He's got everything in your future all taken care of. If the Lord takes care of the grass in the field, the flowers in the field, and He takes care of the birds in the air, then don't you think He cares a lot more for us, His children, because we are created in His likeness, and He will provide for every need. So, all because of Christmas, that's why you and I have, and we ought to be thankful for everything we have. I want you to look around you today, and I want you to look at the people in your life. God's given you these people, and I want you to tell the Lord today, "Thank you, Father. Thank you for the people in my life.